going over today to mix salam and gimel. Here we know the various mitzvahs that follow the first mitzvah of Anoichi and deal with the basic fundamental of emunah. The various forms of mitzvahs asei and mitzvahs loisas. After that follows mitzvah lamedbeis, which is mitzvahs and halacha, kiyum haShabbos, that you're not to do any halacha on the Shabbos Kodesh. In that mitzvah, if you will take a look, you'll find that he gives us a rationale for that. Mishalosh haMitzvah sheniyeh pnuyim me'asokeinu b'chvod hayom. That there be this one day in which we are totally disinvolved with physical affairs, with physical interests, with material interests. For what purpose? Why should we become free from those interests? In honor of this day of the Shabbos, why do we have to be mechabed this day and free ourselves from all other involvements? And this happened to be one of the things that the Romans and Greeks had against the Jews in their time. She appeared. Shabbos Hayim, Pesach Hayim. They spend their lives in she appeared. They're never working. They didn't understand such a thing. A person, a human being, has the power of being engaged in work, in active labor. So he should be working at all times. There's no such thing as free, not working. They didn't understand what the Jew stands for. So what is Shabbos? Shabbos, you should disinvolve yourself from all material interests. For what purpose? So this is a follow-up to the fundamental of the Munah that we had before. To place within our souls, that means that this should become a basic fundamental that's understood by us and by which we live. Our belief, our total faith in the fact that the world was not created of itself, but that Hashem Yisbolach is a creator who created the world. Shehu Chevel Hanusheches, because this is the rope which carries with it all Yisoidei Adas, all the fundamentals of faith. Chidush Ha'olam, that the world is not created of itself, did not exist of itself, but is a product of the creative power of Hashem Yisbarach, that he came before creation of the universe, and that it emerged from him. This is the Anoichi Avaya Elokecha, the basic belief, the first of all the commandments of the Tariag Mitzvahs. The Shabbos is a follow-up to that. A person should give himself a day in every week, a day that is free from all other involvements, so that he should be able to think about Emunah. He should be able to renew within himself the concepts of Emunah. That's what Shabbos stands for. It's a very important thing to remember. V'nishkeir, and we should remember, v'yoyim echor b'chol shavua v'shavua. One day in each week should be a day set aside for this remembrance. Sheho olam nivro, that the world was created v'sheshes yomim chalukim, in 6 days, uvishvi, and on the seventh, lo nivro dovo. That was the day of Shabbos when Hashem Yisbarach ceased the process of creation. Bo Shabbos, bo Menucha. Uvechol yoyin v'yoyin nivruhu in yodin chaluki. And every one of these 6 days, there were different things created. V'hoyreis, in that manner, we were taught ala rotzun ha'poshu, the will of Hashem Yisbarach, which was not controlled by any other thing, but was con- completely his alone, halorotzen apostle, not as the philosophers say, shalikidas hamispalsafi. The Greek philosophers believed in a world that was created of itself, that was not the product of a willful creator of Hashem Yisborah. And we, with our emune, believe otherwise. Our faith is based on this concept of Anoichi Avaya Elikevo. B'nuchaseinu Bashvi, and in our rest on the seventh day, Zecher Lonu, there is a remembrance to us, B'chidushay Shel Ha'olam, Ki Kishayishvisu B'nei Olam Kulam B'yoyim Echad B'Shavua, when all men rest on this one day every week, Yishal Kol Shoyed, and people will then ask him, Ma'ila Zoy Samanucho, what's the reason all of a sudden for stopping other interests and you're resting? And your answer will be, Kisheshes Yomi Moso Hashem Es Hashemayim Es Ha'oretz, in the 6 days he was engaged in the process of creation, and on the seventh he rested. In that manner, everyone will then believe strongly in the proper true faith. And in the rest of the Shabbos day, besides this fact of rejuvenating within ourselves the faith and the belief in Chidush HaOlam, that the universe is a product of creation, Yesh Bo Yischiras Neis Mimitzrayim, it also reminds us of God's Hashkoche in taking us forth from Mitzrayim. She'ayinu Avodim Shom, V'lo'ayinu Yechayim Lo'nuach Be'es Kevtzeinu B'menucho. There we were slaves to him, and we were unable to observe the Shabbos and to rest when we wished to rest. Hakel Hitzilonu Miyodom and Hashem Yisborach saved us from this bondage, Vitzivonu Lo'nuach Bashvi, and commanded us to the rest of the seventh day. V'alkein Zocha B'Mishne Torah, that's why in Mishne Torah in Dvorim, the Torah mentions Asheres Hasheni, the Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim, in reference to the Shabbos. Even though the Shabbos came before Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Shabbos is not dependent upon the Kedusha of Klal Yisroel like all the Yomim Tovim. Nevertheless, it is a reminder to us of Hashgachas HaBeirim, Sheyesh Lonu B'Menucho, V'Om Hashom B'Mitzvah Hazois. And there, when the Torah, in the second Dibris, where the Torah repeats the Aseres HaDibris, there the Torah mentions the Zochalto, you shall remember, that you were a slave and you were free. Therefore Hashem commanded you to rest on this day. So there are two concepts and two ideas contained within the day of rest. Not rest in itself is a purpose. The rest must lead a person to something. Why must you stop work? Why must you stop labor? It must lead you to something. If you have rest without leading up to anything, so rest in itself can become a source of a lot of corruption, as we see today. If you want it to be of value, you must always realize what is its purpose. Why must I rest? Why 6 days in the week I can be engaged in labor and in toil of all sorts, and on Shabbos I must have total rest? Because a person must have days in his life when he should be able to renew within himself the basic concept of Emunas Yisroel, that Hashem Yisborach created the world and rested on the Shabbos, to remind ourselves of a process of creation. That's Emune. All the philosophers of Greece who were great men, Aristotle is quoted continually by the Rambam in the Meir Nevuchim. They were great men, and yet this concept was totally alien to them, to believe in a creator. That they did not believe. The world was of itself. And even today, we've mentioned already a number of times, as we discuss this concept of Emunah in Brias Hashem Yisbolach, that even today, science doesn't believe so. Science believes that the world was created of itself, and there was no creator to it. Now, within the last 50 years, they're beginning to think otherwise. And as we mentioned, they call it the Big Bang, that there was a moment in the course of events when there came forth all this that we see and we call universe, whatever science wants to call it. Many don't believe so. Many of them still deny that this is so. And we've pointed out also time and again, the reason is that to admit that the universe is a product of a creator means that I am not free alone. I stand under this creator. He is sovereign over me because he has created the universe and me within that universe. This is what makes it so difficult for man to accept this belief, this emunah in Briah. And that's why it's necessary time and again to set aside a day when we give ourselves time to think. This concept is mentioned many, many times by the Sipurne in his Peirush on Chumash in reference to the Yomim Tovim and in reference to the Shabbos. The purpose of these days is to give man occasion when he is able to divest himself of all other interests and bethink himself of Kedushas HaBeit Baruch Hu, that we are all products of his will, that we stand under his sovereignty, and then we have power thereby to live the rest of the time of the year, the 6 days of the week, and the many months that make up the year, by virtue of the fact that we recognize what is the power of life, where does it all stem from. This is the Kedusha of the Shabbos. When we realize this, when this is our approach to a Shabbos, we then begin to realize why the believing Jew is so enthused with the Shabbos Kiddush. It enters into every area and sphere of living. Even the food of the Shabbos is tastier than the same things when you eat it on a weekday. A Shabbos diketzon has a different taste from the same chon when you eat it on a Sunday. The people that keep the chon for Sunday and Monday too, talk about another time. And the interesting thing is that this was discussed already in the Talmud, in the Gemara in Shabbos. Tyrannus Rufus, the Roman ruler over Eretz Yisrael in the days of Rebbe Akiva, asked of Rebbe Akiva, what makes your chon delicious? The goy also liked it. Why is this so delicious? And the Akiva answered, we have a specific, special spice that we put into the Shabbos chon that makes it delicious. And he said, what is that spice? So the Akiva said, Shabbos shmo. You put the Shabbos into the chon. That's the name of the spice. So he says, give me some of that spice. I'll put it into mine too. So he said, that spice is to him who observes the Shabbos. He has the Shabbos. He doesn't observe a Shabbos, doesn't have a Shabbos. A goy is not obligated to observe Shabbos. He's free from that mitzvah. So he doesn't have that spice. It's not cloves. It's a different type of spice. The Shabbos is so all-embracing that there isn't one sphere of living that is not touched by the Shabbos on Shabbos. And then we begin to understand why Mitzoy Shabbos Vayinofash Vay Ovdo Nefesh. And we have psomim. We take a smell of the psomim to strengthen ourselves. We feel we're weaker. We've lost nefesh. An interesting thing is, Rabbi Hananel in the Sefer Be'er on that Gemara says a beautiful thought. What nefesh are we referring to? We usually refer it to the nefesh of the Jew who observes the Shabbos. That on Shabbos he has an Ashram Yisrael. after Shabbos he loses it. Vay ovdo nefesh. Rabbi Yochanan says a wonderful thought, beautiful. The entire world, he says, the entire universe becomes broadened with the Shabbos. That's the nefesh of Briah, not only of the Jew. And Mitzoy Shabbos, the Jew feels that the universe has become shrunken. Vay ovdo nefesh. There isn't anything in Briah that isn't touched by the Shabbos. And according to what he says here, the thing we understand it, it's very simple. The entire concept of Shabbos is to remind us of Briah. Sheishes yomim osa Hashem es ha-shomayim es-o-oretz u-ayon ma-shvi'i shovatz va-yinofash. So this was an all-embracing concept which embraced within itself all spheres of creation. So the Shabbos leaves its imprint upon all of creation. It's the Nefesh HaBriah. Mitzoy Shabbos, he who observes the Shabbos, he who feels the Shabbos, feels that the Briah has shrunken, and he begins to wait, Oy Gevalt, when will I have that Shabbos again? When will this universe in which I live be blessed with the beauty of a Shabbos, with the inspiration of a Shabbos? If you have that emunah, in Arechi Havaya Elekecho, then you begin to realize what the Shabbos contains within itself. Chas v'sholom, if one is kofer in emunah, so the Shabbos can't mean anything to it. An interesting thing, a story that happened with me when I was a rabbi in Waterbury, Connecticut. I once walked home on a Shabbos morning after the davening. One of the Jewish fellows in town came down the street in his car, and he stops the car and he says, Rabbi, get in, I'll take you home. So he said, you're davening, you can't. My lady can go be, because she needs your food. 5 minutes later, he's at my home, my door. Oh, you live it! So he was mechalel Shabbos to come back and tell me. And he says to me, I'm old up there, I forgot my throat, Eders is nifter mir oben. Fregt sie mir, mach na tschont, ho vi di wusten en tschont, as ich do a Shabbos am der Lippe. Chos bitte komm mechalel Shabbos in mir. Aber heint never sagt er, I bin allein. I war mir Shabbos punkt wie Montag. Ich steh auf in der Früh und ich mach seit mein Kopf Kaffee und ich nehm mit dem Bedel in die Puder und wenn ich da der Shabbos Montag hab ich den ganzen vergessen in den Shabbos. Ihr hört am meisten. Schuld can sometimes be an uplifting thing that can take a mechal Shabbos and make him feel that there's something more than that to life. The chont can put him into a Shabbos spirit, even though he's a mechalel Shabbos. Rachmona Ratzalam, Falitzin dem chont deich, umehot nid dem tyrannis rufes, achile zufrem, was liegt in dem chont? So what happens? So you go down the hill and you ask the rabbi, come, I'll take you home on Shabbos in the car. And the rabbi says, it's not necessary. You'll come back and tell him, oi, give all the mechalel Shabbos and the kumis on the chavardesna si Shabbos. That's what Jewish life looks like. And this fellow was a Baal Musaf on Yom Neroim in a town not far from Waterbury. Here he went a Baal Musaf and he went to the town and he went to the town. A heini sheri, where the hearts of Musaf and Trelitz of Nengigosan. And the town where he was a Baal Musaf, the rabbi there told him, no heinenis. Don't be a tearjerker. This is the country in which we live, and this is the atmosphere under which we grow here. So when one is a Shabbos observer, and one begins to feel some of this that the Chinuch is talking about, is there any limit to the values, to the eternal values, that one gains from a day of Shabbos rest? It doesn't mean sleep away the Shabbos. It means use the Shabbos for a divine purpose. Unite yourself with that emunah, which is the basis of Judaism. Use the Shabbos for that purpose, because during the week you have many, many other interests and you don't have time enough for it, even with the keys eating latayda. But on Shabbos, which is totally sanctified, then you reach to that stage that the Shabbos stands for. This is Loishes and Mitzvah Lamed Beis, the Shabbos Kedesh. There comes after that, and here is in the Chinuch itself, in reference to the Shabbos, there is a lengthy discussion in also the Musaf HaShabbos, where he deals with all the Lamedes Melachos. It's one of the most famous portions of the Minchas Chinuch, not the Chinuch, of the Minchas Chinuch. Tana Polarov wrote this famous work on the Chinuch, the Minchas Chinuch. He discusses here all of the Lamedes Melachos in a very, very beautiful fashion. That's not ours, that's completely halacha. It's not for us now to discuss this. But it's good to remember that there is such a thing, a kuntres, that's called Musaf HaShabbos, on the mitzvah of Shabbos, in the Minchas Chinuch, in reference to the mitzvah of Shabbos. Following the Shabbos, the Aseres HaDibros teaches the mitzvah, Lamed Gimel, mitzvahs kibud av v'em, honor your father and your mother. This mitzvah is lechabedo avim, to give honor both to mother and father. Shneama kabed esavicho vesimecho. Uvo apelush kizeu kibud. What does kibud mean? In what way do you express kibud? Ma'achil u'mashke. It has to be in a material sense, not only to thank them and show them respect. That's part of the mitzvah of moiro avim. The reverence for father and mother. Kibud is expressed in a physical, material sense. Ma'achil, to give food to a father, and it has to be mishalat, that's the thing, not mishalbein. He doesn't have to spend his money on it. It's the father's money, but he has to serve it. Ma'achil u'mashke, gives drink. Malbish, dresses him. U'mechase, Machnis u'mutzi, brings him into the house, takes him out of the house. This is a physical, material expression of kovet. Any other type of respect is not kovet, that's reverence. Reverence is the mitzvah of meiro avoein, not kibud avoein. This is usually overlooked when people are not aware of the fact that this is a mitzvah on a son and on a daughter, to be ma'achil u'mashke. Don't have to spend their own on it, but they have to do it. An interesting thing happened once with someone who came to ask a shaila of a Chaim Briska. He asked him, said, I got a letter from my father. His father lived, he lived in Poland, in Brisk. His father lived far off in Russia. I got a letter from my father that he's very ill. Would like me to come to see him and help him there, because he's alone and he has no one to help him. He's ill. So he says, so what's the shaila? And go to him. He said, but he shall have a initial bake. It cost a lot of money to travel by railroad so far to where my father is living. So Chaim looks at him and says, Wer sucht dir sonst gehen mit dem Bahn? Who says you have to travel by train? Geht ihr foolish? Walk there to your father. Elavodin, you want to use the train for your own convenience. That's got nothing to do with Kibud Avaim. For Kibud Avaim, you have to go to your father. It's going to take you 3 weeks to walk, so you have to walk 3 weeks. That's not Michel Bain. It's not going to cost you money. It's going to cost you tirchet. You have to work at it. You and serving your father is also tirchet. That's the mitzvah. To spend money of your own, you don't have to. The money for the ticket is not for your father's sake. That's in order to save you the tirchet of 3 weeks walking. Nein, mein Kind, das ist ein ganzer Fuß. Das ist ein Fehler. Wie ein Gorn, sehr verscheile. the apostle means it as I. He saw before himself an expense. The Chaim didn't see expense. The Chaim saw a tatten that me helpen. That me get you tatten. Railroads. That's convenience. So you get along without the convenience. But that them that me sign are going with a Chaim risen. To see things in their proper light. To understand the mitzvah the way the Torah meant the mitzvah to be understood. What is the rationale in this mitzvah? It's proper for a person that he should give recognition and perform acts of kindness to him who has done good and merciful acts with him. He should not be a corrupt person, and one who estranges himself from those who did good with him. That's called a kofi teivo. You should be a machzik teivo. You should display appreciation for what you receive good from others. And if you don't, that means you're a kofi teivo. Kofi teivo is one of the most corrupt character traits in a human being. Hapiseach pesach lachaver, Chazal tells. If you open a door to your friend, nafshehu chayv, that friend owes you his soul. Imagine what Chazal understood in the concept of appreciating, receiving goodness from someone. To an extent, he opened this door to you. You owe him your life. Not a father, a mother. Is there any limit to what a child receives from them? Can he measure this goodness that he receives from a father or mother? And is he the one to say, what did they do for me? They were my father, they were my mother. They had to do it, whether they liked it or not. So what's so good about it? What's so terrific about it? You hear that today. That's corruption. That's the greatest corruption possible. Do the animals, birds live that way? Born, you're out on your own. With a human being, born, taken care of by day, by night, led from one period of growth to another, from one period of development to another, and the child remains a child until the father leaves this earth. He never forgets his son, he never forgets his daughter. Is there any limit to the goodness of parents towards their children? And this a person should recognize this. Yaki, the Yigmel Chesed, the Loyi and Novol and the Snakeve Kofu Tevo, Shesu Mido Ro Umeusa Betachlis, Snaelki. He who has this corruption of not appreciating goodness when it was given is totally estranged from Hashem Yisborach. Vishayitin Eliva. And the person should always remind himself, ki ove'ein heim siba se yoshay ba'olam. If living in this world brings with it values, benefits, who brought you here? Father and mother. Heviri dechaye olam hazeh. Father and mother brought him into this world. And if you feel that you here in this world have something to be thankful for, so you have to be thankful to them. They gave you this world. Thou came, the emes, it's proper that he should act towards them with all covet, with all the covet possible. The whole to emes, and all goodness, that he can perform towards them. Kihein hevi u le'olam, they brought him into this world. Gam yogu bei kamu yegiyesh bekatnusay, they toiled so many, in so many forms and manners, when he was still small. Therefore, show expression to this appreciation. When a person shall invest himself with this character trait of appreciation for having received goodness at the hands of others, it'll lead to something even greater. He will elevate himself from that to recognize the goodness of God Himself, Shehisi Bose, which is the reason for His being, Visibas Kolaviso, and the reason for the being of all His fathers and forefathers, Ad Odom Harish. It was He who brought everything forth. A person who is not conscious of his appreciation for his own parents will never be conscious of appreciation to Hashem Yisborah. He who is conscious of appreciation to Hashem Yisborah will begin to think, and who brought them? Who created them? And it brings him to emunah in Hashem Yisborah and a feeling of appreciation to Him too. It was He who brought him forth to this world, v'sipek tzorkei kol yomo, and took care of his needs throughout a lifetime. And put him in his proper manner as a human being. And endowed him with a soul. And with intelligence. Were it not for this soul and for this intelligence that Hashem Yisborach has invested man with, he would be like the horse, like the donkey which doesn't understand. It's God who gave you all this. And since this is so, how much do you owe of appreciation to Him that you are different from the animal, that you're a human being? The Yale v'machshavte kama v'chamo roi li zoher v'avidosi yisbor shmei. How much it is necessary for man to be observant of the commandments of Hashem Yisbor. So, Kibud Avoim starts off with investing man in this character trait of appreciation for goodness. For having received goodness by the hands of someone else. But if you really think about these things, you will ultimately arrive at something higher than that. You will begin to think along the lines of appreciation for receiving. And all that we have, both we and our fathers and forefathers, is something that we have received at the hands of Hashem Yisborach. And this becomes the concept of emunah, upon which again Torah is built. You begin to feel, when you learn these things in Achinuch, how actual are the words of David HaMelech, Kol mitzvah secho emunah. All your mitzvahs are emunah. Not only the mitzvah of Anoche Abaye Elekecho, which bespeaks emunah, that is the essence of the mitzvah. But all mitzvahs, what is their ultimate goal? Their ultimate goal is they lead you to Hashem Yisborah. They lead you to emunah. Kol mitzvah sefer emunah. David HaMelech said that. We have a system of living called Taryag mitzvahs. Mitzvahs asei, mitzvahs loisa asei. What do all these mitzvahs serve us for? They bring us to the concept of emunah. If we but live in accordance with what the mitzvah asks of us, we will always arrive at one conclusion, that everything stems from Him, and therefore everything must return to Him, to Hashem Yisborach. Ovi ve'imei hevi'u le'olam hazeh. They brought you forth into this world. Do you feel that you have something in this world to be proud of, to be happy with, to be satisfied with? So you owe appreciation for it to Him who brought you into this world. The physical needs that they performed for you, all that they did in leading you into maturity, in leading you into adolescence, father and mother. But it doesn't end with that. Who brought them into this world? Who created a father and a mother? Are them the father of all men, the creator of the universe? And so we owe appreciation to Him. Before we begin even to think about if there's anything of value in Olam Hazeh, if there are things that we're interested in, that we enjoy in Olam Hazeh, it must lead to Hashem Yisborach, the purpose of the mitzvah. Haveid eshavicha v'simecho is what? To remind ourselves in Kveit Shamayim that there is a Father in heaven to whom we also owe a great deal of appreciation. In this mitzvah you will note that the Torah says Kaveid eshavicha v'simecho. Father is mentioned first, mother is mentioned next. In the mitzvah of Meira over a Ish Imoi V'Aviv Tiro, it's the opposite way around. Imoi V'Aviv Tiro, mother first, father next. So Chazal point out that we deal here also with a natural trait of a human being. In reference to Kovet, one respects his mother more by nature, because he's always in these material things, he's always close to his mother. She's always there. She's at home at all times. She rears the child. So he's by nature full of respect for her. The Torah says, remember also that you have to respect your father. Call it kibun av, ma'il hashke, even your father. You owe respect to Him, you owe appreciation to Him also. In reference to Moira, to reverence, it's the opposite way around. The father who was not with you, who was removed from you, give you hold in reverence. He wasn't that close that you should lose reverence for Him. Mother was always there, she diapered you. She took the dirt from you. What kind of reverence is that? Because mother was so close to you, don't think that she's on one level with you. She's mother, and you owe her reverence, not merely kibud, you owe her meir. And the Torah emphasizes her before the father, so that you should always be aware of these two concepts. That which is natural and comes natural must also lead you to understand that that which doesn't come so naturally also has to be performed. Perform kibud for the father just as well as you do for the mother. And observe reverence for the mother as well as you do for the father. And when we take a good look at life, we see how true these words of Chazal are. We see continually, over and over again, that reverence is missing for motherhood, and kibud is missing for fatherhood. Torah foresaw this, and therefore placed emphasis on kibud for the father, and reverence for the mother. How great indeed is Torah and Mitzvah Hashem. It wasn't removed from the nature of man. It speaks to man as is his very nature, in full recognition of what is the natural setup of a human being. And in that manner, our mitzvah is given to us, to perform them out of a recognition of what we are, so that we should realize that many times what we are is not what we should be. And the mitzvah seeks to make others what we should be. So the Sefer says today.
What I hear is that does not have the mitzvah keep it all according to the tam of the cherish of the tinnah. First, his father and mother brought him physical existence. They sheltered him. They clothed him.
He has, but not in a sense of Abba'im, because it's no longer an Abba'im. Gershin is Gaya Kotosh Eledom. The Ger removes himself from that attachment to his father, because the spiritual attachment there is a different one. Fakir. Indeed, it's mentioned here today that what we have to do for our father and mother out of the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av, the Ger also has to do that. Even in reference to Nicham Avinu, it's necessary. But it's not part of the mitzvah of Kabedes of Vicho, because he's no longer a Vicho. It's not the sense of a Vicho anymore. A Vicho is one with whom I have that spiritual attachment, that we were born of the same spiritual background. We are children of Hashem Yisborach in one manner. But if he is a child of Hashem Yisborach only through Sheva Mitzvahs, and the Ger now becomes a son of Hashem Yisborach through Tayag Mitzvahs, so the attachment of father and mother can no longer be the same. So I owe an appreciation, just as I owe appreciation to any person in the world who would do some kindness to me. No question about it. And the Dean says that you must do these things, you must perform these things. But it's not part of the mitzvah of kibbutz av, because it's not an av. It's someone who was a father and did good for me, but it's no longer av. He can't be called av. Gershin is Gaya, Kikotun, Sheleledon. It's as if he were newly born, even though physically this was his father, but spiritually he's lost his father. They are not anymore father and son. You all know the bearing in mitzvahs that this has. According to the Deen, the Ger can marry his sister, because she's not his sister anymore. She's a Ger and he's a Ger, and they're not brother and sister anymore. So the brotherhood and sisterhood is not a physical concept. Brotherhood and sisterhood is a spiritual concept. And they have to be brothers and sisters from that vantage point. And since from that vantage point it's no longer an av, but it's a person who has performed loving kindness, so you are obligated. You must show appreciation. And if you don't, it's corruption, no question about it. But it's not an avere of the mitzvah of kibbutz av, because it's no longer a father. Same thing is for a stepfather. One has a stepfather, a Jewish stepfather, certainly not a father. And even there, since he performs goodness and kindness towards the stepson, he is obligated to perform the same towards him as an act of appreciation for what he has received from him. Mitzvah lamedal. Shaloi la'arev nefesh. Not to murder. Shenei amaloi sirtzo. Shoydesh mitzvah zu, the rationale, Yodua v'nikle, the whole Roy Hashem, is anyone who's able to see the sun, that means anyone who has sense, realizes what the lies in this mitzvah, Gashem Yisborah, Borah Ho'ilom. I don't know if many of us would look upon the rationale of the mitzvah in the sense that the Chinuch teaches us here. Listen to what he says, Gashem Yisborah, Borah Ho'ilom. Hashem Yisborah created the world. And he commanded us to be fruitful and multiply, in order to populate the world. This is the first mitzvah of Torah. And we learned that mitzvah aleph, pirion v'rivyo. Umana anu, and Hashem Yisborah stops us. that we should not destroy this world. Lahalik to kill the abe and to put to loss habriyas shemiyashvish ha'il, those who populate the world. I don't know whether if we were asked, we would answer that this is the reason why murder is a crime. But that's what the Hebrew says. Murder is a crime because it's world destruction. It's not a crime because you did something against an individual. You've destroyed a world. Hashem Yisborach wants the world to be populated. Pru Ruvu, Bilu Sohoretz Mikishua. Populate the world. The world wasn't made, the universe wasn't made to be empty. It was made to be populated by men, by human beings. Every individual human being is part of that purpose of world creation. When you destroy one individual, you haven't merely destroyed an individual, you have attacked world population. Look how far removed this is from present-day population control. What Torah sees in a world and what others see in a world. Population control means abort a child. Kill it when he's in his mother's womb. Killing a child in his mother's womb, abortion, is murder. That's the din. That's the tzichet. That's part of mesilta. And a goy, a benoyach, is chayav nizik for abortion. But population control says that too many people being born, so destroy them. You're destroying this individual. You're destroying a world. Were you to act in accordance with the will of Hashem Yisborach, so the more people there would be to populate the world, the greater the suchness we would have, and the more wonderful this world would be to live in. Why do we have tzoras of hunger? Why? Because the world is overpopulated, or because we don't observe the will of Hashem Yisborach? Why do we have choice? Because we commit crimes and sins. But we'd rather continue committing sin and killing people because there's hunger, there are too many people to eat. Do you think that Hashem Yisborach doesn't have enough within his power to feed all the mouths and 10 times more than that? Wasn't that what he told Moshe Rabbeinu in the last century? Hayan Hashem Sitzo. He doesn't have enough to take care of population. It's overpopulated. There's not enough food for them. There's a lot of bunk. He has enough and more than enough. But do you know why there isn't enough? By essen gibt man dem, was sie wert essen. Do you live a life worthy of food? Do you live a life worthy of being taken care of? So rather than correct these ills and these evils, this wonderful world of ours has decided on a better method. We'll murder these people so we'll have less mouths to feed. What a terrible way to solve world problems. And these are the solutions that the world seeks to create today. That's how problems are being solved today. To destroy character. To destroy appreciation. To deny the value of a populated world. Not to see what one individual represents. One individual represents an entire world. One individual. Why? Because of what he says here. If the purpose of this world by Hashem Yisborach was that it be populated, that every individual who lives in this world leads it to its ultimate purpose. And what more does Hashem Yisborach want? This is Olam Mole. This one individual, this is Olam Mole. That's why Reb Shimon ben Yochai said to his son Reb Lozo, if there were only 2 people in this world left, you and I, could die It's worthwhile having an entire universe for these two people. Not because he thought so much of himself and he was invested with vanity, with gaiety, as we show him. He wanted to teach his son, the Blozer, Berb Shimon, to realize what is the value of an individual. An individual means that it's worthwhile creating a universe for one person. Two universes for them. You have millions for each one a universe. Today, it's different. How do you solve problems like that? You commit murder. You commit abortion. When you look at the government in Israel, what is Shireen Gebal when I was there, keep talking about Aliyah, and they sent Shlichim to Hutzlolitz. Shlichim will have a good time here, a procession from Yiddish Yot. To send people from Hutzlolitz to Eretz Yisroel. And you abort 60,000 children in 1 year. Gebald! 60,000 Jews in Eretz Yisroel. What more do you need? The best Aliyah that can be. And the Arabs, they multiply like a kashrutzi in Eretz Yisroel. Feed a shidochik, as Ami Yisroel said. That's because people are so far removed from a concept of Torah. Those who don't live by Torah don't begin to realize what is the life of an individual. And they do things which are so irrational that there's no sense to it at all. How can a person talk about populating a country and in the very same breath pass a law that it's permissible to kill a child in the womb and admit within Europe 60,000 abortions? This was 2 years ago. I don't know, I didn't see the statistics for the last year, but it was not long ago. It's a terrible thing. Peter Shitoff. That's because we are totally unaware of what the individual means in Jewish life. What it means for a Klal Yisrael. What it means for the world at large. You ask today, why is there such a thing as a crime of murder on the law books of all civilized countries? They won't give you this reason. There are other reasons for it. But that this reason that you dare not commit murder against an individual because you're murdering society. Just talk about it. The Rambam points out, why is it that make ovivimei, if you should smite your father or mother, chayev misibu. If you take another person and do it to him, it's malchus, chayev machadeh, father and mother misibu. He didn't kill his father, he didn't murder his father. He hit him. A drop of blood came. Why is he reason? So the Rambam says, because the basis of society is family, the family circle. And the basis of the family is father and mother. So when you smite your father or your mother, Chas v'Shalom, you're not committing a crime against this individual. You're committing a crime against society. And a crime against society is subject to a death penalty. You have to pray. That's the Rambam. Says that in the Hebrew. That's a totally different outlook on an individual. What does an individual represent? And what does Klal mean? What does society mean? We're so far removed from these concepts today. Because we don't live by Torah. We're not invested with Torah. And even those of us, I'm here Hashem, and we're two mitzvahs, and I say, Tevim, as I love the world. But we never stop to think, what are these mitzvahs? What does this mean, Kiddushona be mitzvah? What is this Dushi that mitzvah enhances us with? The Shtuk was a thing we talked to Tach. And that's why the study of the Chinuch is such a very important, important study. It raises us to a level of getting some intelligent approach to what our mitzvahs contain within themselves. It begins to teach us this concept of David HaMelech, Kol Mitzvah Sefer Emunah. All our mitzvahs drive us home to Emunah. And what greater thing is there in life than the Emunah Hashem Yisbarach? When we stand strong in that, we are then able to overcome all difficulties. And when we are weakened in that, so we can't even overcome that which is not difficult. Just problems of life can be overcome. With the Emunah, the greatest difficulties are overcome. Without the Emunah, every problem overcomes us. This is something that we have to remember at all times, and therefore seek to study these mitzvahs Hashem in the light of the Chinuch. The Chinuch doesn't enter into the depths of Jewish philosophy. He gives it to us on a platter with a plain, simple rationale. But this plain, simple rationale, when we begin to think about these things, we see that they strike home. They are deep, deep, deeply embedded in the soul of mankind. And if we would but give ourselves time to become a bit inspired with these ideas and concepts of the Chinuch, we'd reach to untold heights. And mitzvahs would then mean to us so much more than they mean today. So let's continue our study of mitzvahs through the eyes of the Sefer HaChinuch, through his perspective. We've gained a great deal up till now, and in Yirtzeh Hashem, as we continue, we'll see ever new light in these mitzvahs, and every mitzvah will bring us back to the basic. On the day of the Yom Kippur, Asher Tzitzicho Melech Mitzrayim, Mevesavot.